Today's Masechta Nazir Daf Nun Hey. We will begin on Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, right at the beginning of the Amud Lema Katanoi. In our previous year, we had a discussion that the Eretz Amim, the foreign countries, are give of a tuma. But the Gemara had brought two possible reasons for that halacha. One is because Mishim Avira, the Chazal said that the Avir, the airspace of these locations, Divuf Tumah. And the other reason was Mishum Gusha, because of the earth of these places. And the Gemara wants to suggest that that question is really the subject of a Machlokes Tanoim. Lehem Katanoim suggests the Gemara that this is a Machlokes Tanoim. The Braisa teaches us, HaNichnas L'Eretz Amim, if somebody enters the Eretz Amim, the Sheda Tiva Migdal, all of these large types of containers, as the Rishonim explained, they are at least able to hold 40 saw. Because they hold 40 saw, they're all large vessels. And since they're large vessels, there's a consideration that they could be serving as a mechitza from the Tumah. So again, says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, the Braisa says, Leimu Ketanoi, HaNichnas L'Eretz Ho'amim, B'Sheda Teva Migdal, Rebbe Metamam. Rebbe says if somebody enters the airspace of Eretz Amim in one of these types of vessels, he will be Tameh. And Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says he will not be Tameh. So the Gemara wants to suggest, my love, what is the basis of this machlokes? Rebbe's opinion is that why the Chazal say this Tumen Eretz Amim, Mishem Avira, because of the airspace of the Eretz Amim. And therefore, even if you entered in the airspace of a very large vessel, it wouldn't make a difference. The avir that you're in is tameh. And Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Sav Mishum Gusha, that as we discussed in our previous year, Chazal were concerned that the earth of the Eretz Amim is full of tumah, whether it's because it goes back to the time of the Mabul, or whether the concern is because there are people buried in the Eretz Amim, and we're not quite certain where they're buried, and therefore we have to be concerned that all of the earth of the Eretz Amim is full of the people of graves of people. And now, when you're in the Sheda Teva Migdal, you're in this box that serves to be a mechitza between you and the gush of the Eretz Amim, says Loi. Mar gives a number of different ways of explaining this machlokes without it necessarily being connected to the question of why is there Tumas Eretz Amim. Says Rav de Kula Amar, everybody could be agreement, Mishum Gusha, that the issue in the Tumah of the Eretz Amim is the earth of the Eretz Amim. Marsov and the Machloik says that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is of the opinion, oil zorik, this type of oil that is a movable oil, as we're learning, it's a Sheda Teva Migdal that somebody is in, is considered an oil. And therefore, since it's considered a valid oil, it could serve as a mechitza between whoever is in it and the gush of Eretz Amim. Masover, whereas Rebbe's whole opinion is that since it's a movable oil, it's not something that's meant to be stood in one place. That's why it's not considered a valid oil. So the Sefer Pesach Oil asks a question that, according to this explanation, the machlokes here is about the status of oil zork. So he asks that the Gemara, the Chiddush of the Gemara should have said that koyach that ter adif, that there's a big Chiddush, and that the Chiddush would be that if you enter the Eretz Amim, which is only a Tumah d'Rabbanon, it's only there, but not when you're dealing with a Tumah d'Oraisa. So he explains that when we're dealing with a Tumah d'Rabbanon, the Chiddush to say the Sofik derais l'chumra, and therefore to say that we're going to be makel as a kula. But by Sofik derabbanon, there's no chiddush to be lenient. The chiddush is that the somebody machmer, and the chiddush is that even somebody who entered the Sheder Teva Migdol into Tumah derabbanon is going to be considered Tumah. There are also Rishonim that differentiate. Here the Gemara connected this machloikis to the question of oil zorik shmei oil. So the Pashto Pshat in the Gemara is that there are two types of oil. There's an oil zorik, there's an oil that's movable, and the Gemara here is questioning, is that considered an oil or not? And there's an oil which is not an oil zorik, which is a stationary oil, and that is considered obviously an oil. But I saw that there are opinions that want to say that even the opinion that holds that this is considered an oil zorik, that oil zorik shmei oil, will only consider an oil zorik to be an oil when it's in a stationary position. But when the oil zorik is not in a stationary position, everybody will be in agreement that that's not considered an oil. For Tanya, and the Gemara wants to bring a raya to this explanation, that the machloikis of Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda is about the subject of oil zorik. For Tanya, the Brisa says, Rabbi Yosef and Yehuda oim teva shimalei kalim. If you have a large vessel that's full of kalim, the zork al pnei mace, and then you throw it over the mace, where it's an oil over the mace, the aloch is temeya. Because since it's an oil zorik, then it's not considered a chatzitza between the mace and whatever is in it. But if the keli is stationary, tahira. Once it's stationary and it's on top of a nifter or on top of a grave, then it's not an oil zorik. And since it's not an oil zorik, it will be considered a proper mechitza between it, between the anything under it and anything above it. Now the Gemara gives a different explanation of the machloikus of Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Vibay say the kol amim shemavira. Everybody agrees that the issue in the Eretz Amim is the avri of the Eretz Amim. And the machloikus says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion masav akimim lo shchicha. Since it's a lo shchicha that a person should be in a sheder teva migdal, that's why Chazal did not decree that that should be a situation of tumah. Amar, Rebbe is of the opinion, it's not common that a person should be transported in a Sheder Teva Migdol, gozer by Rabbonim. So I saw that the Mishnah Melech explains this Gemara. Because this concept of Milsa L'Shchicha like gozer by Rabbonim is a very common concept found throughout Shas. Yet here, we're finding that it's really the subject of a Machloikus. So he explains that there are two types of Gzeiros Chazal. If we say that they Gzeiros Chazal, the Chazal made certain rules. And if Chazal made certain rules, there are rules that are Rabbanan. And then there are situations where Chazal made rules because they were concerned. So the question is, why did Chazal say that the avir of Eretz Amim is tamei? One could understand it is because Chazal decided that the Eretz Amim is considered tamei. It's not because of a gzeira. If it's not because of a gzeira, then the halacha says, then the halacha is by milsad l'shchicha l'gosba rabbonim. If it's a concern, then even by milsad l'shchicha gosba rabbonim. Suggest the Mishnah Melech that is the basis of the machloikus of Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Do we say that the reason Chazal said that Eretz Amim is Tamei is because it's a new rule? Then we by Milsa L'Shchicha like Gosbar Rabbanan. If, however, we say that the reason Chazal said that Eretz Amim is Tamei is because they were concerned what that may lead to, then even by Milsa L'Shchicha Gosbar Rabbanan. And the Gemara brings a raya, a Tanya Raya, to back up this explanation. Hanichsos l'Eretz Amim b'Sheder Teva Migdol Tor, because since it's not a common way to be transported, you're Tor. But if you go up a Kroin and a wagon, Svina, Beskayu, these are all different types of vehicles which you travel with. So it's a milsa de shchicha. That's why Gozerba Rabbanan. The Rishonim point out that it's interesting. We're speaking here about boats. Boats are really not something that you travel over earth with. But still, they were Geyser Tumma, they suggest, even over the area where there's water in the Eretz Amim, and that's why this Bryce is understood. Vibay Sema, a third explanation of the Machlokes Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Hocha Shem Yotzer Rusha V'Rubel Sham Pligi. The Machlokes here is, if somebody's traveling in one of these vessels, do we have to be concerned that he's going to put his head, most of his body, outside? Rebbe's of the opinion, where Chazal were concerned that in such a situation, somebody's going to put out his body, and therefore he says, Yotamei. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is not for concern for that. And Tosfos points out that we're referring to a situation where it's possible to stick out your head. But if it would be a situation where it's difficult to stick out Rosh Hashanah, everybody would agree that you're not going to be Tamei. For Tanya, and here too, the Gemara brings a raya to back up this explanation. The Brisa says, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and Nichnas L'Eretz Amim B'Sheda Teva Migdol Tohor, Achi Yotzi L'Sham Rosh Hashanah. So we see that the din of Sheda Teva Migdol is very much connected to the concern of Shema Yotzei Rosh Hashanah. Here we're speaking about the concept of when we speak about Tumah Tahara, we speak about where is Rosh Hashanah. If Rosh Hashanah is in a place which is Tumah, then you will be Tumah. And if Rosh Hashanah is not in a place where you are Tumah, then you are not Tumah. This has various applications in many hilchos of Tumah Tahara. Now the question is this the halacha everywhere? We know that if somebody enters a bathroom, he has to wash his hands. What's the halacha if somebody enters, only has one hand enter the bathroom? Will he have to wash both hands, or will he only have to wash one hand? So the Shailos Tshuvos Torah L'Shma says that you would only have to wash one hand. He says that when it comes to Netilas Yadayim, we only are concerned about the hand on the that's in the bathroom. There are others that disagree and say that the tumah of a bathroom of a basic kisei is a very different type of a tumah than what we're discussing in our shir, and therefore, even if only one hand was in the bathroom, the person who has his hand in the bathroom will be considered tumah. The Gemara, as we began today's shir, discussed the subject of oil zoruk, shmei oil or lo shmei oil, and this question of how the halacha looks at an oil zoruk was used by the Noida Behuda in discussing if somebody can open an umbrella on Shabbos, because we know on Shabbos there's an issa to create an oil, and the question is opening up an umbrella considered the construction of an oil, because an oil is used and transit, and our Gemara is saying that oil zoruk, according to one opinion, lo shmei oil. So if somebody's opening up an umbrella, maybe it's not considered that he's making an oil. The Noida Behuda says that even according to the opinion that holds that oil zoruk lo shmei oil, he says opening an umbrella would anyway be usur. Number one, he says that people don't necessarily have to walk with their umbrella. People could stand in one spot and be there with the umbrella. So then the umbrella would not be an oil zoruk. It would be a regular oil because you're standing in one spot. Moreover, the Noida Behuda wants to point out that the halachas of oil regarding Shabbos are not the same as what is considered an oil for Tumah. For Shabbos, the issa to make an oil is to create any situation which the person will be sheltered by the covering that he created. And therefore, the umbrella, that is exactly the purpose of an umbrella. And since that is exactly the purpose of an umbrella, the umbrella will be considered making an oil. With tumma, it's a question of spreading of tumma. That is a different set of issues. And therefore, what's considered an oil as far as hilchas tumma and what is considered an oil as far as hilchas Shabbos do not necessarily travel together. Of course, we cannot leave discussing the sugya of oil zorik shmei oil or loy shmei oil. Is somebody is on a plane, and the question is and there's a nifter in the plane, and the question is, may a kohen be in that plane? Because if you'll say it's an oil zorik, if you'll say it's an oil zorik, so that's not considered as if he's in the oil of a nifter. But if it's not considered, if it's considered oil, then he's in the same oil as a nifter. And if therefore the question comes up in a very serious fashion, if a kohen's allowed to be in such a plane. And most opinions are that it is considered an oil, and therefore the halacha is that a kohen may not be on it. The question is, if a kohen entered a plane, and he then discovers there's a nifter, is he obligated to leave? Because he didn't do anything wrong when he entered the plane. Most paiskim are machmer. The other question is, if there's a kohen on a plane, and I know there's a nifter on the plane, am I obligated to notify him? And here, the paiskim, again, the question is, if it's tumah d'oraisa, then of course we would have to notify him. The Gemara says that if there's a kohen in a house and he's notified that there's a nifter in the house, the kohen has to run out, even if the kohen is not wearing any clothing, and it will be obviously very embarrassing. If, however, we hold that oil zorok is only a tumma derabanan, there would be room for leniency. The other question that needs to be discussed is if a kohen, if we're going to hold that the oil in which the that the plane is considered an oil zorik loishme oil, then how could a kohen travel over a cemetery? And even if we'll say it's a suffix, if the kohen, when he's on a plane, is traveling over a cemetery, so it's still called kavua. It's the nifter is in the coffin, and the coffin is in a set place. And throughout Shas, we learned halacha called kavua. So it's not, we don't say, well, most space in the world is not occupied as a cemetery. And for that reason, the Sha'al Sechuvas Eretz Tzvi, Simen Tzadik Gimel, is Machmer. However, the Sha'al Sechuvas Chelkos Yaakov, Yoyredeya Simen Reish Tes, takes a more lenient approach. And he says the Medaraisa quotes the Shvus Yaakov, that Medaraisa is considered a mechitza between whoever is in the plane and any kvarim that are on the bottom. And since midrash is considered a mechitza, so the entire tumah here is only a tumah d'rabbanan. And since the entire tumah that we are discussing is only a tumah d'rabbanan, we have reason to be lenient. But he points out that doesn't mean, and I think the Chazanist said this as well, that the kohen should try to ascertain the route that the plane is taking, particularly if a plane is leaving Israel. And when the plane is leaving Israel, you could see that the plane is traveling over a cemetery. It would be a big issue for a kohen to be on such a plane that's traveling, that he sees is traveling directly over a cemetery. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah that if somebody had during his term of his Naziris, had Yemei Sfiroi or Yemei Gomroi, and it's important to identify and define those terms. The time that after the Kohen declares this individual as a Nazir until he becomes Tahar are considered the Yemei Gomroi. That means after the Kohen declares the Metzayra as a Metzayra, the Metzayra becomes a Metzayra Mukhlet. And as long as he has not been healed, he remains in the Yemei Gomrai. After Baruch Hashem, he's healed, the Koy, he has to count 7 days. During those 7 days, he no longer needs to be outside of the three machnas. He could go back home, and he cuts his hair at the beginning and goes through procedures, and so too does he do at the end of the 7 days. So says the Gemara, says Rav Chisda, this that we learned in the Mishnah, that the Yemei Sfira, Yemei Gomrai, do not cause the individual who's the Nazir, who becomes a Metzora, to forfeit the days, is Loi Shanu Ela B'Nazir Ma'atis, Avil B'Naziris Meruba, Misilkinami. So we learned in the Mishnah that unlike a Metzora who becomes Tamei, that the halacha is that a Metzora who becomes Tamei loses the days, forfeits the days that he was Tamei, the halacha we learned by a Metzora, a Nazir becomes Metzora, is he doesn't lose the days that he counted, but those days, the days that we just spoke about, the Yemei Gomrai and the Yemei Sfirai, are days where he is not, those days aren't counted towards his Naziris, on one hand, but he doesn't lose the days that he's already counted. To which Rav Chisda comments, I'm Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda comments to this halacha, Loi Shanu, this halacha was only stated El Benaziris Muatis, Ava Benaziris Meruba, Misluk Nami Silkalei. It matters, he says, how long was the term of Naziris that this individual accepted upon himself? And the explanation is as follows. If the person only accepted upon himself a 30-day Naziris, so therefore he has a 30-day Naziris, as we just learned, when he finished his Tzaras, he has to take a haircut. As we have also learned, a Nazir, when he finishes his Naziris, has to take a haircut. And as we also have learned, a haircut is not considered a haircut unless it's the cutting of the growth of hair of 30 days. So if this person has 30, so if this person's cutting his hair because he was a Metzora, he's going to have to count 30 days. And therefore, he's going to have to count 30 days from when he finishes this being a Metzora. But Naziris Meruba, if he took on himself a longer Naziris, that means even if he'll count the days that he already passed, there's still more than 30 days left over after he finishes Tzaras. So the days when he was a Metzora, Mislik Nami Salkin, like, could count towards his obligation. Ask the Gemara, Maskel Rav Shrabia, asks Rav Shrabia, on what Rav Chisda just taught us, we learned Maskel Mani Miyad, as soon as the Metzora gets healed, he could start counting his Naziris again, and he doesn't lose the days that he counted before he became a Metzora. So asks Rav Shrabia, but Mai, let us understand this brisa. What is the case that this brisa is referring to? Ilam ibn Nazir Matas, if we're going to say that speaking about that he was only a Nazir for 30 days, so he said if he only took upon himself a Nazir of 30 days, and now he took a haircut because he was a Metzora, so then he's not going to have enough hair to cut unless he cuts a full 30-day term of Naziris after he finishes the Tzaras. So he has to count the 30 days. Elalav, what must be the case that this Bryce is referring to? But Naziris Meruba, that even if he were to count and consider all of the days that he had till now as Naziris days, he still has 30 days left over. And still the Bryce is Ketani Mascha Meina Miyad, that as soon as the Tzaras days are over, he starts to count immediately. But what does that imply? That while he was a Metzora, those days were interrupted. But we're saying that those days don't get interrupted that in such a case, Rav Chisda said that those days don't get interrupted. Says the Gemara, who might have loved Umar Farakla? It was actually Rav Chisda who posed this question, and says the Gemara, he was the one that answered the question. The Braisa, he says, is speaking about a case of Naziris Bas Chamishim Yoim. And as the Tosfos points out, that it doesn't have to be specifically 50 days. The point is that it's not just in the Nazirus of 30 days. And what happened here was the Yosef Esrim, he sat 20 days of the Nazirus, and then the Siyad Beit Tzuras, and then he became a Mitzayra. So now, while he's going to be a Mitzayra for as long as he's going to Mitzayra, then he finishes being a Mitzayra, and Megalach L'Tzarastop. How many days of a balance does he have? He, again, took on 20, took on 50, and was a Nazir for 20. Says the Gemara, if he's going to count the Naziris days, the Tzaras days, towards his Naziris, if he's going to count the Tzaras days towards his Naziris, we have a very big problem. The problem is that he doesn't have enough days left to be able to take a proper haircut when his Naziris is over. So what will we have to do? We'll have to say the 20 days that he counted before he became a Mitzayra are there. The days that he was Mitzayra, he aren't Naziris days. Now that Baruch Hashem, he's no longer a Nazir, he could count to 30 days, have the proper amount of hair to be able to take a proper Naziris haircut. And that's what the Gemara says. The Yosef Esrin, he kept 20 days of his Naziris prior to his Tzaras, then this Aldebet Tzaras, then he became Mitzayra, so then he finishes Tzaras, his Tzaras, and therefore Megaleich L'Tzaratoi, he takes the proper haircut. V'hadus Yosef Tlosun Yom the Nazir, then he keeps the 30 days that he has to do for a Nazir, so, and says the Gemara Dohe Islay, we want him to have the proper Gidl Sar. We want him to have the proper amount of hair that he needs to have in order to be able to take a proper haircut. And that's why this is the case where the days of the Tzaras cannot be used towards fulfilling his obligation of Naziris. Because if he will use those days, he won't have enough days afterwards to get the proper length of hair. But if he has a longer amount of time, then in that case, says Rav Shrabia, says Rav Chizda, that we can include those days of the Tzaras days into his Naziris days, provided that when he finishes the Tzaras days, he's still left with 30 days of Naziris where he could grow his hair and then cut them at the end of his Naziris.